The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. Amen. In between services on Ash Wednesday, I came across a meme on Instagram. It came from a popular Asheville-based account, and its backdrop was a sky full of big, pillowy clouds held together by a bright, shining rainbow. Scrawled across the page was the mantra, "I don't believe that I am bad." The post was liked by over 2,500 people. I looked upon this as I stood in the sacristy draped in my purple chasuble, and for a moment, by the grace of God, scrolling Instagram caused me to reflect. How was it that the service that I had just finished leading that felt so comforting and reassuring to me felt so threatening and so dehumanizing to so many others? Why was it that on this day so many had to defiantly affirm to themselves that they are in fact good, and that this statement is underpinned by their understanding that the church would think them bad? I didn't really have to wonder about these questions for long. For much of my life, even once I began to explore spirituality in my later teenage years and into my early 20s, I never once considered coming to church. It never crossed my mind. In my imagination, and I think in today's popular imagination, church is not a safe place for the spiritual, for the bereaved, for the confused. For many, the church is perceived as a place that stifles rather than nourishes these needs. I believed this about the church, and I stayed away for a long time. I didn't want to have to believe in a spirituality predicated on the fact that I was bad. I sought spirituality precisely because of what I felt that I'd gone through. I wanted my worth and the worth of fellow humankind to be affirmed. I wanted dignity. So while the statement, "I don't believe that I am bad," felt odd in that immediate moment in the sacristy with my chasuble, it also spoke deeply to my story as a seeker. And now, in another role as priest, it's an essential question. What is Lent about? And in turn, what is Christianity about? Is it the message of Christ to believe that we and this world are bad? We find insight in response to this question in Jesus' story from the Gospel of Luke today. Jesus is still riding the high of his baptism in the River Jordan. We are told he is still full of the Holy Spirit when that Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. We read that he was directed there by the Spirit to the very place where he would face temptation from the devil. By the end of his time keeping watch, Jesus is understandably weak. It is precisely then that Satan arrives and offers Jesus three propositions. We can imagine that Jesus had fought off prior temptations countless times during these 40 days, but now Satan has caught Jesus famished, exhausted, and vulnerable. He proposes that Jesus turn a nearby stone into a loaf of bread. Not only would this conveniently solve Jesus' hunger, but it would offer proof of his divinity. Jesus resists this temptation by directly quoting from Scripture. But Satan does not relent, instead shifting his focus, tempting Jesus with rulership over all the kingdoms of the earth, again with Jesus directly referencing Scripture to counter Satan's advances. Now, here is where I want to pay special attention. How is it that Satan tries to trick Jesus in this final proposition? He takes the very thing that has given Jesus strength, dignity, direction, and uses it as a tool for evil. Satan quotes Scripture. He uses Scripture to support an otherwise absurd claim that Jesus should hurl himself off the top of the temple. And yet again, Jesus fends off this temptation with what? Scripture. It is only after this temptation that Satan departs, we are told, until another opportune time arises. Now, we can learn a lot about church and a lot about our Lenten journey together from this temptation of Jesus. I find it instructive that Satan's greatest trick to test Jesus was to take Jesus' own scripture, his own tradition, and try to isolate it so that it would suggest something contrary to the truth. This is Satan's last-ditch effort, precisely because efforts like this often work. They take the things that people care about and they distort their meaning, guilting them into believing whatever claims are made for the benefit of another. The message is that religion and our holiest texts can be used for purposes that are not good. Scripture can be used to take advantage of faithful people, and its misuse can and does repel those who are both a part of the church and who are distant from the church. Scripture used merely for the purposes of harm and for shame is never God's word. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus' message was put there intentionally to safeguard God's people against this very misuse of God's word. In other words, don't believe everything that you hear in church. I don't mean that even just broadly, but from me too. Don't believe everything that I say. That wouldn't be healthy. But it's important to hear that church tradition has been harmful for many. People have been taught that their bodies are inherently bad, that they and the world are places not to embrace, but to turn away from. People intimately connected to the church and those mostly unfamiliar have been led to believe, as the aforementioned post points out, that to be Christian is inherently to believe that you are bad. This could not be further from the truth. Lent is not a time to remember that we are bad, that we are wicked, that we are incapable or undeserving of joy and wholeness. Lent is not a time where we affirm that we are bad. Lent is a time where we affirm that we are imperfect. There's a huge difference between the two. We are imperfect, I am, and you are, and all of us are imperfect. We are prone to acting disproportionately out of our own self-interest, of forgetting the call to love God, to love neighbor, and to love self. This reality is evident in our personal lives and our broader historical patterns. We let fear and ego get in the way of what is right and good. Lent is a time to remember that and to repent, yes, but also a time to know that we are loved deeply just as we are. It is a time that leads us into a story of God's redemption and grace through Jesus Christ that is not predicated on any good work that you or I could accomplish, but is a companionship bestowed upon us simply by virtue of our being human, because someone deemed you are good, you are worthy. Jesus came to sit beside us in our imperfection. With it, he defeated the worst of what humanity can embody: violence, hatred, selfishness, just as he defeated death through the cross. In it too, he shared in the blessing of our humanity, in all of those things that are good and holy, loving and selfless. Selfless, Jesus came down from heaven, took on our flesh and said, "This is worth it." Jesus showed that we are worth it just as he is. So yes, I believe in Christ. I believe in Lent. And I do not believe that I am bad. Amen.